Welcome back. It is What's Happening Abuja, 1 minute past the hour of 10 a.m. Of course, it's Wednesday. There must be Federal Executive Council meeting today, as the decision-making body of the nation. And, of course, whatever updates we get from there, we'll definitely send across. But, I mean, it will be an interesting one. We expect that the Vice President would be at the helm of affairs, knowing that the President has had to take a trip first to Kenya and then to the United Kingdom to confer with the medical team. All right. Global oil prices pulled a surprise on Tuesday, trading above $110 a barrel amid supply disruptions following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. High oil prices mean high subsidy payments for the Nigerian government to sell petrol between below the international market price. The development is coming even as the United States and other member states of the International Energy Agency agreed to release 60 million barrels of oil reserves to tame rising prices. Brent crude was trading up to 7.80% to $112.70 per barrel, up nearly $8 per barrel from Tuesday. $8 per barrel between Tuesday and this week, Monday. And the highest since February 2011. The highest ever since February 2011. Was Texas Intermediate Crude Futures, West Texas Intermediate Crude Futures proportionally gained 7.54% to $110.95 a barrel. OPEC and its allies will meet today for crucial talks on monthly output for April 2022. So, looking at this reality and what we had set aside, with our benchmarks and our plans for 2022, what does this mean for us? Do we need to look for more money? Okay. This is me trying to pull out the numbers. Yeah. Let me just do that quickly. All right. So what does this mean for us, you know, as a nation? Going into 2022 and looking at some of these surges. Now, we can't really say exactly what's going to happen, you know, between now and the next, say, 1 month, as Russia continues to press harder and push, you know, deeper into Ukraine. There is a claim of a particular city being taken over already today. And that in itself, you know, tells us the extent, you know, of the trouble here in that region. All right, but for us, 3 trillion naira fuel subsidy in 2022 was our plan. And at that time, we're looking at different numbers, you know, for this, basically. So Nigeria's 3 trillion naira fuel subsidy in 2022, who will be more subsidized, right? This was the question that was asked and a lot of talk we had around that point. A total of 1.2 trillion was spent on fuel subsidy in 2021. NNPC proposed 3 trillion for the same purpose in 2022. According to the Minister of Finance, Budget and National Planning, Zainab Ahmed, the proposed fuel subsidy expense for 2022 exceeds the amount spent in 2021 by 150%. President Buhari's government promised to revive ailing refineries, though, reduce expenses on fuel subsidy and make life much better for vulnerable Nigerians. That promise is yet to be seen. Let's see. Nigeria has 4 refineries: Port Harcourt Refinery, Warri Refinery, Kaduna Refinery, and then, of course, I believe we have one in Lagos. The Port Harcourt refineries have a refined capacity of 210,000 barrels per day. Warri Refinery has a refining capacity of 125,000 barrels a day. And Kaduna Refinery has a refining capacity of 110,000 barrels a day. The total crude oil refining capacity of the 4 federal government-owned refineries is 445,000 barrels per day. All the federal government refineries have stopped working since 2020, yet the Nigerian government spends a lot of money to operate them monthly. Nigeria exports a large volume of crude oil to other countries for refining and imports almost all the fuel consumed. Now let's take a look at the numbers here. This is me trying to actually pull out the exact numbers for what we are putting aside for subsidy already, you know, before this new extra cost coming in with higher crude prices. Meanwhile, I see somebody trying to call us here. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Fortune.
Welcome.
Mike, my name is Blaise.
Good to hear from you, Mike.
You. I also want to thank you for also clarifying, because I was asking for me if this amendment is done to the constitution, if we need the State House of Assembly to take the use of them to rectify it.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've cleared the air on that.
Yes.
So, these are the things we are jubilating for that the Senate has passed and have not passed. I think with the grip the state governors have on their state assemblies, I'm not sure who will yield on all of them yet. So, that aside, on the first situation, we were joking some time ago. Somebody said maybe we should hand over our refineries to Nigerian breweries. Because we never spoke before. So they use the same approach. They refine our crude also. And like you correctly said, Fortune, even in that conversation I said, apart from even Nigerian breweries, you know, that, I don't know, me and my school ago, brewing and distilling. I think there is a difference.
There is.
Those who distill at first in the Niger Delta, too. Somebody told me that the process of distilling ogogoro, that ogogoro they do in the Niger Delta, and that of refining fuel, is almost the same thing. So if our own boys locally are able to even refine, not even distilling at first this time, they are able to refine our crude oil. Crudely, what they call it, illegally. So you that you say you can do it legally, what have you been doing? So like you said, instead of going there to destroy whatever effort those guys are putting, why not call them over and say, okay, even if it is to say, okay, we find the one we can consume locally. I think it's a threat to go. But like I keep saying, the people who put us in this situation didn't do it by mistake. And for me, if by hosting, we host way, we have to go back. Who started this conversation as to say, okay, today, let us start importing refined fuel and then shut down our refineries. And let us also look at how much, right from that 2020 that our refineries are not working, how much I've gone into rehabilitating them. Like in this government, I'm aware, $9.5 billion has gone, not naira, dollars, has gone into refinery rehabilitation. Then, you know.
All right, Mike. The matter is long. It is a long matter. Well, thank you, Mike, for calling in on the show. So the Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation has presented to the Ministry of a request for 3 trillion naira as fuel subsidy for 2022. What this means is that we have to make an incremental provision of 2.557 trillion naira to be able to meet the subsidy requirements, which is averaging about 270 billion naira per month. 270 billion naira per month. At that time, crude prices had not risen to what we have today, where we are having it around 112 dollars per barrel today. $112 per barrel for Brent crude today. That's about 7.8% increase from where it was just a week ago. About $8 added to it. Now, if you put all these small numbers, you know when they say, it's just $110 per barrel. And we say that we have bought, say, 250,000 barrels. You know where we're going here? Some significantly healthy cash we're talking about, you know. And already, our plans were somewhere around 270 billion naira per month for this. So, economically, in terms of us, you know, expending our resources on subsidizing fuel without producing, this is what you know, we are having, this is the cost of it, you know. So we have looked at the cost, and we believe that it is the cost that we can bear, and believe that that is the right way to go, and of course, as heading in that direction. All of this, well, without us anticipating Russia getting very, very, very angry in the month of February and attacking Ukraine. Then it happened, because emotions exist everywhere, and you cannot allow your economy to be based on the emotions of some nations in the world. You must do something to make sure that your nation is insulated from any of such shocks, you know, before they come. For instance, be self-sufficient in food, be self-sufficient in your energy sector, be self-sufficient in production, and no matter what sanctions hit you, you might just be able to stay afloat. But with what we are doing right now, may we never be sanctioned in any way or else. History. All right, let's see who calls us on the phones. We see the phone lines blinking, a lot of your calls coming through, so we can't hear you. In fact, as I speak to you, there's a line on right now. I know you can hear me probably, but I can't hear you. So I'm just going to let that be and continue to take my calls on WhatsApp. You can reach me on 0800-999-30137. That's 999-30137. Just like Mike did on WhatsApp just a moment ago, you can reach me there. Trying to find my mouse here. I see a voice note on WhatsApp. But I will take a call first and then a voice note. Hello, good morning. Welcome. What's your name, sir?
Yes, my name is Patrick. I call from Niger State.
Patrick, how's that side?
We thank God.
Correct, guy. Good day, your side today, sir.
I know we're speaking that the course is created up. I deal with him, so we are safe.
Okay.
I think we are safe.
Nice
one. Hey, Patrick.
Yes. Yes.
I hear you when you say sanction. And yesterday I saw in news item on my phone that Ministry of Foreign Affairs that Nigeria will sanction Russia. So I could wonder what thing will make when Nigeria will sanction Russia. What thing Russia they benefit from Nigeria? So my first reaction was,
well, you feel no know, maybe crude oil, because we move out a lot of crude oil. You don't know. You never can tell. Our crude is one of the best in the world.
Talking about scarcity of oil, me, my own is this. What will it take, since Nigeria have this relationship with China, why not call this Chinese, call Chinese to Nigeria? If we are able to build hospital in just days, a standard hospital, world-class hospital in just days, I believe that these Chinese engineers can build Nigeria standard refinery too.
You see my problem with this Chinese angle, right? The last I checked, Santa does not come from China. If China builds something for you, seeing that, I mean, they are not just going about throwing money about, what is the need for them? What are the clauses? No, we're not saying the same thing, though. Because the thing is, already, if you go to some of the African countries that depended on China for their rail system and all of that, there's a country that has lost its entire rail system to China because they couldn't pay back their loans.
There are ways to go about this, sir.
How, sir?
We negotiate it. I'm not saying that Chinese will fund it all. Nigeria will fund it too. So let's go, so that this suffering will reduce. Nigerians are suffering now. Is any governor in that 12 you? There are no governors here.
So my question to you is, do we have to negotiate with Nigerian engineers to build the refinery?
Since we don't have confidence in them.
Why?
If we have confidence in them. Since we have Nigerian engineers, why can't we give them this one refinery that you just mentioned for them to just turn around?
Because they don't, because
we are using money, like Mr. Mike when he was blown, said $9 billion, we are using money to just play around. We are just wasting money. Because it's not our money.
I feel you, my brother. I feel you.
My own personal money. I will not have to use it now. I will not waste my own personal money. But it's because if the money is coming, so I will just use it. But no, none of the governor is in that fair queue now.
Well,
no minister is in that fair queue.
I feel you.
The president has never been in queue since when he came to power. So it is the ordinary people that are suffering. So it is the
interest
of the ordinary people I'm trying to.
Well, I feel you, Sha. If I would have agreed with you fully if China was a philanthropic organization or an NGO.
They are not philanthropic organizations. They don't need help. Anywhere that help will come.
No, that sometimes help. If you now go and say anywhere that help will come desperately, you now put yourself in a bigger snare. Right now, you are. Sha, when you go to filling station now, you can charge at the person at the gate and say, I'm a Nigerian. There's a day, yeah. if you do it anyhow, there's a day you go to filling station, they'll tell you in your country, go back, and you will not do anything. I'm telling you.
So now we should keep praying, Abi?
No. We have boys in Niger Delta that we are arresting.
They call them illegal now.
Call them, train them. This same government has spoken about modular refineries last year. Do you remember?
I know.
So, the problem is not what to do. The problem is to do it.
Okay. Now, how do we force them to do it?
That's jam question. Let's
the era of the Bible that the violence take it by force.
Let's meet in jam class. Let's meet in jam exam class for that answer, my brother. Let me see who joins me next on the conversation this morning. Getting very, really interesting.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Well done, Fortune. It's been quite a while. This year's week, I'm calling from season 7.
Oh, wow. Good to hear from you, sir.
Yeah, please. I just want to refresh our memory on this fuel issue. Like, Nigerians have very short memory. Do you remember when this administration came into being in 2015? You remember that our president, the Minister of Petroleum, insisted was going to explore for crude oil in the Chad Basin.
Oh, yes.
We forget so.
That's true.
Yes, and he spent money. $1 billion. Even though he couldn't find crude oil, then he insisted that money went down the drains. Nobody, no accountability, nobody asked questions. That money spent was enough for him to start rehabilitating the refinery, even building a new refinery. But because, like Patrick from Niger said, it's nobody's money. That money was just wasted. We knew we were going to waste it and we wasted it. Then, of course, when he started, he came into power and met fuel at 87 naira per liter. Because he said that subsidy was a scam, he removed subsidy. And that's why I said the market forces will determine the price. And the subsidy moved from 87 naira per liter in 2015 to 145 naira per liter. All the money he made that period, what was it spent on? Because we still borrow money from the Chinese to do the railway. So 145, he pushed to 165. They said market forces was going to determine prices. Now we are still talking of still removing subsidy again. So what did he remove? As at 2015, that will push fuel price for 87 per liter to 145. Now we're talking about moving it again. So there's something we don't understand that is going on. And we just, until we tell ourselves the truth, Fortune, we'll continue going around in circles. This punishment is self-inflicted. I'm like, what Mike Wenwu Blues asked, who gave the idea that we should start exporting crude oil? Who gave us that idea? We need to please help us dig out as journalists. Let's find out where our problems are. So now we have to solve the problem.
Wow.
He said, let us think back. As far as for crude oil in Chad Basin, wasted $1 billion. It was wasted. We couldn't do refinery. Everybody's waiting for Dangote's refinery. It's quite sad. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your thoughts on that issue. I mean, took us back a little, you know, on memory lane. We actually did explore for crude in the Chad Basin after 3 decades of the elusive search for hydrocarbons in the Lake Chad Basin, where the federal government spent about 149.4 billion naira in the seismic expedition. Yet the state-run agency, energy company, is giving it another shot in 2021. But this time around, the world is racing away from oil and government is broke. In a move most experts regard as a poor investment decision and lack of understanding of the future of oil, Nigeria National Petroleum Corporation was aggressively searching for new oil deposits to achieve its target of raising the nation's oil reserve to 40 billion barrels by 2025. So before this exploration, we had already spent a little over 140 billion naira on exploration. And then in 2021, we kept this conversation going because of course it started when the government came into power a few years ago. Let's see. The wild goose chase has gone up about 149 since its inception, and this amount is exclusive of $340 million and an additional 27 billion naira committed by the federal government in the expedition since the beginning of the search for oil in the new frontier. Even if commercial hydrocarbon deposit is discovered, those who are conversant with investments in the sector say the NNPC's plan to resume exploration activities in the Chad Basin would seriously be hampered by economies of scale, projections, insecurity, and unwillingness of oil companies to drill outside the Niger Delta with already proven reserves. So didn't make a very good business decision, but sometimes difficult decisions have to be made. When of course you believe in something. The nation's economy is choked as data from Debt Management Office revealed that the country has a total debt of 33.1 trillion as at March of 2021. The country's refineries are in shambles, needing a subsidy which deprived the economy of 10 trillion naira between 2006 and 2018. That's from budget and many other numbers that we don't want to put out here this morning because of how saddening they can be. Well, that's the situation, and right now a lot to be desired. Let's see. Come see. Let's take your voice note. It's a very short one, I can see. So let's take that one quick before we go on the next break at the bottom of the hour. Okay, and now your voice note isn't downloading. Right now we're to go for a commercial break. Okay. And, okay, maybe I should read these messages. Good morning, Abuja. We can only fight for equality of opportunity, but we can't guarantee and legislate on equality of outcome. That will be very unfair. The Nigerian Constitution guarantees every citizen, be it male or female, the opportunity to aspire for whatever political office they so wish. That bill was not an equality bill, but a bill which guarantees the advancement of a selected gender over another. How we can help women advance in politics is by addressing what is hindering them, such as high expense in buying political forms and so on. But we can't make laws that guarantee equal outcome. Somebody sharing that with us there. Okay. Good morning, my admirable presenter. My name is Emeka from Osetu. Today is someone's birthday, someone who is very, who is everything to you. Okay, so we'll see if we have time at the bottom, at around 11 o'clock to do that. Let's take this voice note.
Just like Mike did.
Good morning, Mayor. This is Comsi from Airport Road. I finally bought fuel this morning. Yesterday I queued all through. I couldn't get. I don't know if Airport Road is far for SWAT and LFZ. I don't know. If they can try, then opposite Dunamis Dome is not a bad place at all. The queue is not so long and they are very organized. Everything is very organized, so it's going smoothly. NNPC 2 close to Dome is not bad as well. That is if it's not far.
Welcome back. All right, so we're doing our best to reach out to the Abuja original inhabitants spokesperson. Of course, Buhum Borkonung Abuja is what he is called, and we're doing our best to see if we can get to him or to the chairman of the original inhabitants to get their take on, you know, the bill that was declined in one of the chambers of the National Assembly, that bill that, you know, would have instituted something new, of course, where we would have an indigene of the FCT serve as minister for the FCT. That still is a dream to come later. It hasn't come to being just yet. But what's their reaction to this and all of that? We would like to take, and as we continue, if we have the opportunity, we'll definitely hook you up with that. Somebody says, on a lighter note, I won't be surprised if it's the guys that spoilt your phone line, because only ladies were allowed to call on the WhatsApp line. Nancy will say to her, I feel you. I totally feel you. They are probably the ones. Good morning, Mayor. My name is Osh from Abuja. The Ukraine war is a reminder that anything can happen in the world. If they ever sanctioned us, it will be horrible because we have not done the needful. Please, we need a renewed commitment to nation building. Great show, Osh. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you always. Hello, Fortune. The rise in crude oil price in the world market means more money for Nigeria. The crude is not being given for free. Prosper, Mr. Prosper, I see your point. But the same rise in crude prices is what changes the rise in pump prices all over the world. And that rise in pump price increases what we need to pay for us to keep our own pump price steady. That's what causes for us to pay subsidy. The fact that these fluctuations are the things we are trying to stabilize by paying the excess, so that the average Nigerian does not have to pay for that. That was the angle I was talking about it from. So yes, more money for Nigeria, but what has it translated to? We've had excess crude accounts before that was depleted to almost zero after some time. What have we used the money to do? Are we producing yet? Are we refining yet? What are we doing? That's my question, Patrick. Prosper from Abuja. Please answer me that, if you would, please. I see a voice note from someone here. I would love to take it. Let's see. A different angle to the conversation would be great.
Good morning. My name is Chima.
Hello, Chima.
From Guarimpa Express Road.
Okay.
Why in opposition, our president asked an important question. Who is subsidizing who? Now he has been in power for over 7 years. Please, he should not leave the seat without answering that important question. Who is subsidizing who? Thank you.
Chima brings up a question he remembers from the pre-election days of our president and Minister of Petroleum. So great question. I just wish somebody would respond. Concerning, and then this morning, Kedio Omaya was saying that nobody's speaking to Nigerians and all of that. I can reliably tell you that the president's spokespersons have said NNPC has spoken to Nigerians and told us what the situation is and how they are working on it. That should be enough for Nigerians. Reliably, I can tell you that's one of the responses coming in from the villa. Mr. Fortune, can we have the new electoral bill on air today? Hafsat, I cannot promise you that. We're looking to have a conversation around that on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. We're yet to confirm our guests, and that's why that is not up just yet. Mayor, I'm glad people are asking the relevant questions. Who initiated Nigeria into the idea of exporting crude and importing PMS? It is a criminal idea, and I expected that this so-called government of change would activate the refineries and stop this ugly practice. But no, they are still carrying on with it as if they do not know the implications. All you believe in their selfish interests. AGK from Mississippi. Let's see. We have a voice note here. Let's take this one.
Good morning, the mayor.
Welcome.
This is Elder Idoko. On this West case city, I want to say that I think there is some kind of conspiracy among some people who have decided to be wicked. Now, why did I say so? A few weeks ago, NNPC came out to say that that filling station should sell 24 hours. Yesterday, I went to NNPC mega filling station at Central Area in the night to join the queue. I was on the queue up until this morning. I discovered that NMPC, even the NMPC mega filling station did not sell overnight. I was there till this morning. They didn't sell overnight. I left there to drive around other places to see if I can get where they sell. All the places I visited, no filling station sold overnight, and people are on queue, slept in their cars on the queue. So I want to believe that if filling stations are selling overnight, there will be no need or reason for any queue on any filling station. It is pure wickedness, and I'm surprised that nobody has been punished yet. It's unfortunate.
So Elder Edoko, so the question is, you say it's pure wickedness, and you're surprised that nobody has been punished yet. So when a regulating authority makes a statement, right, whose responsibility is it to see that that statement is followed to the letter? Whose responsibility would it be to make sure that the filling stations sell overnight? Whose responsibility would it be to provide what the filling stations need to sell overnight? If I am a filling station manager and I have maybe 10 staff, and I usually used to do run shifts and sell for 12 hours. Now you come up with a policy and you tell me sell 24 hours. You force me or you command me to sell 24 hours. But you don't do anything to improve on the staff welfare, improve on the number of staff or anything. There's no electricity, so I need to run diesel all night to sell, to keep selling, right? I need to do some of these things. We forget that some of these people are running businesses. They are not just there. They are running businesses. So, and none of these things are discussed. You don't look at the reality or making it, or how realistic, that's the word I'm looking for, it is for them to be able to carry out this command. And then you just say it, and you go and sit down. How will it work? Talk with the managers. Talk with the filling station management and all of that. You are the regulator. What does it take for you to sell 24 hours? More security? More electricity? More manpower? A bit of welfare? Let's do it so that people can get out of the place. Nobody is doing any of that. And then you expect that, just because you said it in your office, it will happen on the streets in the Nigeria that we know. Come on. So who is wicked? Because, Elder Edoko, I see that, with the way you are saying it, you are saying that the filling station authorities are wicked. Yet, you are not seeing that the regulator who said everybody should sell 24 hours has not done enough to make sure that everybody sells 24 hours. So what I'm sensing from your statement is a leaning, you don't want to say NMPC has done wrong by not enforcing. So it's the filling station attendants or the managers that are wicked. Meanwhile, I know what it takes for me as a filling station manager, for instance, to keep my generators running daily, to sell for 12 hours, for 16 hours. I know what it takes me to keep my staff going in that stress and the work that they do. It's not easy what they do. To keep them going for 24 hours. So, yes, we need to sell 24 hours, but there's something that happens any place where you see they sell 24 hours. Go and check their staff strength. Go and check what they do, what they spend on diesel, what they spend on security at night. Because the truth is, if my filling station is somewhere around Tungamaji on that expressway, and I don't have security, I will not sell 24 hours there because things can happen there that nobody will explain later. So let's be a bit sensitive as well as we think about these things. There are different aspects to it. you know, that make it either work or not work. Fortune, what's happening, Abuja? My name is Rain Up. There's something we are not getting, and this means that we don't understand international politics as a people, and this is why we are still in a cycle. When we go out there to get foreign loans and aids, it comes with what I call hidden charges. When we do that, we sell our strengths and our rights for decision making. There are some decisions we can't take as regards to the international economic scene. In the days of structural advancement program, we lost our economic sovereignty and we have still not learned our lesson. Our government can't build refineries because the world leaders need our crude. If Nigeria starts refining its crude internally, some world powers will suffer, I tell you, Fortune. So these people won't let it happen. We might be able to build a reliable refinery. We might not be able to build a reliable refinery in another 30 years. It's the bitter truth, this person says. I didn't get your name, but I mean, I totally agree with you. There are so many angles to all of this that sometimes we don't see. We just say, China should just come and build a refinery for us. This person should just come and do this for us. That's how we wanted to build African Union building. The African Union still needed China to help us build the African Union building. Look at what we lost in terms of information management and all of that in that particular situation. So much. So, yeah. Engineer Femi has called and called and called. His phone has a sore throat. I can see, I think even GB has tried calling and calling and calling. It just hasn't worked out just yet. Don't worry, you'll get through very soon. Very, very soon. Just keep trying. This person says, hello. Hello to you too. Mike Wenwin Blues sends a message. And many other things going on. It is said that we produce about 2 million barrels of crude daily. How come the NNPC under Mr. Integrity as Minister of Petroleum has been reported not to contribute any kobo to the Federation account for some months? Where does all such money go that we're talking about, whether or not the rising price of crude globally affects our pump price back home? All right. I see Elder Edoko trying to reach me here. Elder, I can see that you're trying to call in. Go ahead and call. I have 5 minutes and I'll take your call if I see it. GB also trying to call. I just missed GB's call just now. Let's see. Engineer Femi won the race. All right. Hello. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Engineer Femi.
Welcome, my brother.
This swell thing is really baffling. On one hand, crude has gone up to 107 per barrel.
No, it's gone up to 112.
112, okay.
112 today.
Fantastic thing for us. Fantastic for us. But the problem is, we are not. We have leadership that are not projecting into the future. I mean, right now, what will happen is, raw power will advise us to increase our supply. But then, we'll be crying here that even if we increase our supply, the cost of fuel must go up. We must suffer the consequence. I'll ask you this, Sophie. Tell me, Fortune, I wonder what informed you're making as a country. I was thinking this, instead of running railway from here to Maradi, what if we decided that to run a pipeline from here to the same Maradi in the Jade, where they have two refineries already, and then be able to tap refined products from there? I have some kind of arrangement with them. They are close to us. Gas from all the way from east in Eastern Europe. They are running it all the way to Germany in Western Europe to run gas and feed the whole Europe. So what is our own here? Then I have 5 refineries, comprehensive ones. Can't we run pipeline from here to that place and then be feeding on this? We cannot. Because all the money you have spent, I was asking one of my German friends, he said all the money you guys have spent on trying to set up your refinery, you could have just done run pipeline and everybody will rest. You will not spend up to this and then you can get the supply you need from this place. And then you have to wait for Antwerp, you have to pay for shipping costs and all of those costs that keep going up and down, they'll tell you, oh, the cost of refining is this, but the cost of shipping is that. We would have cut all those things out.
Mm.
And then say, let's assume that building the refining here is the problem.
Okay.
And who will sort our problem? People, even if it's for the short term, why would think about building refining in a 10-year projected time? Who will solve all the problems you have there? Please talk on this.
Okay. Thank you very much, Engineer Femi. I think we have GB. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Oh, wow. You have your mouth full there. You are enjoying your life.
Thank you very much.
Are you ready to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Our youth, the future of Nigeria, the future of tomorrow. We really look at what is happening in society. The rate are they take drugs, take all this alcohol and sachet bottles. I would not think that they are destroying our future. For number one, a healthy nation is a strong nation, is a future, a nation that has future. If by the time they take all the alcohol, they have liver problem, maybe out of 100 million, you have 50 million on liver problem or other ailments, or going to a sort of mental problem, whatever it can result to, or kidney problem, what are we doing? We go to all the parks in Abuja in the night. Go and see people who have got drunk, who cannot even know, they don't even know where they are going. Youth, age between 16 and 25, 30. You see them, no money, they can't even know, I mean, they don't even know where they are. And it's happening. If you go to the park in the morning, you will see listed all these sachets of gin, whatever drinks, all those things, with the one in small bottle, the one in sachet, you see litter everywhere. Go to market. If you need consign, no. And we are not doing anything about it. Mayor, there's fire on the mountain, we don't know.
There is, there is.
There's fire on the mountain. Now that NBLA and others should look at it.
Mm.
How we can curb these things.
Well, I...
To market places, you will see all these things happening. Look at the ground. Before, it was still water center, you will see everywhere. But now... The number of those sachets and bottles, small bottles, or as number sachets water per nylon or something. This is my research. I've gone around about those places. In the night, go to this park near the Nisha Park, whatever, by Lifetime Junction. See what is happening there. You will see, even adults, they middle age, they are youth, I in number. The adults, maybe anybody above 50, they are very minimal. But the youth, there's a problem.
Okay.
So we don't counter it now.
It's a major problem.
All this, Mr. GB, all this thing will happen now, a lot of this thing.
Absolutely. Mr. GB, thank you so much for taking on this research. Very important research you're talking about there. Might I suggest, an extra part of the research, because there's definitely a root cause for people turning to, such crutches. Because the way I see it, when people turn to drugs, apart from the ones who are just indoctrinated by vices and all of that, there are those who actually turn to it because of the pressures that they feel, the pressures that they face on a daily basis. For some, just the difficulty of life, has brought them to where, finding something by which they can lean on to zone out of their reality for a short period. Actually get them into these addictions. And if we actually look at it to a great extent, there's a great, great, great percentage of idleness, a lack of motivation, a lack of mentorship, a breakdown in the family units, a breakdown in national cultures and values, ethics and values being taught. No direction, no sense of direction, no schools, or at least no resources to go to school, and all of that. There's so much going on, I know people who actually turn to some of these things because of the pressures that they have been facing. So if we look at it from that angle, you know, because there's the angle where, you know, NDLEA is burning 10 hectares of cannabis farm or 10 hectares of Indian hemp farm. You know, we are doing this, we are doing that, and arresting people who we see trafficking these things. That's one aspect. How about the people who are hooked on it? Why? Where are the mental health issues coming from that is causing people to get hooked on drugs? The pressures, the lack of direction, the lack of national direction, the lack of jobs, the hunger, the frustration of living in Nigeria, doing a great, great, great toll on people. So we also need to look at it from that end and see how we can help people, you know, and give them a sense of belonging, a sense of direction, you know, that keeps them going. That said, it's time for us to go for a break.